This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Like the rest of us, Carla Buckley knows that the relationship between a mother and a son is unique. And she's explored this relationship in her latest novel. It follows a son who, because of medical conditions, needs his mother more than most. Carla Buckley is the author of her latest book, The Deepest Secret, and she joins us today on The State of Things. Carla, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Tell us about this. First of all, let's sort of do this meditation on the mother-son relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy enough for us to say it's unique, but in what ways? And what got you thinking about this?
Well, I'm the mother of two girls and a boy, and my oldest daughter, when she got her driver's license, I was primarily concerned with her safety. Make sure you fasten your seatbelt, make good choices, that sort of thing. But when my son, 3 years later, went through the same stage, I found that my concern was quite different. Instead of worrying about his safety, I began to see the stages of his life unfold before him. I could see that his learning to drive would lead to him graduating high school, going to college, maybe traveling, starting a family, settling down, and then I would only see him at Thanksgiving. And it was at that point that I really realized that the relationship between mother and son is a bittersweet one. Our jobs as parents is to raise our boys to be independent. But in so doing, it means that they're going to leave us.
Well, leave us and in a different way. And I think that's the point of your story, is that daughters leave us too. And we raise them to be independent.
Yes.
But there'll be a connection and they'll probably be back more frequently than that.
Hopefully. Hopefully they'll even move in and live in our basement.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for that too. So, but that there's something about males that we're sort of, in some ways programmed to get up, get out, and come back only when there's good food on the table.
Right.
So tell us now about the plot line in The Deepest Secret. Tell us what happens here.
So in writing The Deepest Secret, I decided that it would be interesting to push the envelope of this relationship and make this child uniquely dependent on his family or on his mother. So I gave him a disease called xeroderma pigmentosum, which is a very rare disease that afflicts 2,000 Americans at any given point, and not that many more across the world. And what it is a disease that both parents have to be carriers of. They don't know that they're carriers until their child is diagnosed with this, generally by the time the child is 18 months or 2 years of age. And by then, the damage has already been done. And xeroderma pigmentosum is the body's lacking of one enzyme that prevents a person from processing and healing the damage caused by ultraviolet radiation. So these are the people who can never go out in sunlight. They have to stay indoors, and their lives really unfold at nighttime.
So very dependent. Eve is the mother. Tyler is the boy with XP, for
yes,
short.
Yes, yes.
And so we can see this relationship unfold. It's very, obviously very close. Tell us about Eve, if you can, and we'll take us right to the conflict, if you don't mind. And I don't think it's giving too much away to talk about the conflict that Eve encounters.
Yes, the crisis that
the
unfolds.
Crisis.
You know, Eve is, the minute her son was diagnosed, he was 18 months old, she turned her life around and she quit her job. She stayed home. She slept during the day with her little boy, and at night she would get up with him and create a world for him that was, in my eyes, magical. And she has an older child, and I saw until this child, a girl named Melissa in my novel, started school, the three of them would have picnics under the moon, and they would go to a local YMCA and swim with all the lights off, all the things that Eve could do to try and make her son's life as normal as possible, given the fact that it was being conducted entirely at night.
So she does, and she is in many ways the ideal mother, the total sacrifice for the child, and creates a world and keeps his world comfortable, keeps the family going.
Yes.
Along with it.
Yes.
And brings people in but allows them to have their space. And then something happens, and she
yes.
is in crisis, and the perfect mom is now faced with the most difficult choice.
Yes, and I'd be happy to talk about that moment if you would like.
Sure. Maybe mm-hmm. I can ask you now mm-hmm. to read. Would this be a good time to read?
Sure. What I'd like to actually do is read the very opening paragraph of the novel, which is told from Eve's perspective. My book, The Deepest Secret, has three narrators, and Eve, and they alternate, and Eve is one of the narrators. And in opening my book, I really worked hard to figure out where I wanted my story to start. Where a novelist chooses to begin a story is so critical, because you have to establish so many moving pieces. You have to flesh out your characters in a way that makes the reader want to keep reading. But you also don't want to overburden your reader with too much so that the reader just puts the book down and walks away. So I actually wrote 8 different opening chapters, and none of them were working. They all felt very robotic. And it wasn't until I gave myself permission to write a story from the heart that I came up with this opening, which is, birthdays are supposed to be happy occasions, so Eve plans a party. There are the usual anxieties. Who would come? Would Tyler like his presence? Then there are the special worries, the ones other people didn't have to think about. She wouldn't focus on those. She makes a cake, a bigger than life-sized iPad that takes a day and a half to decorate instead of the 6 hours the internet site promised. The problem is getting the paint the right consistency so the lake doesn't bleed into the shoreline. And all those tiny icons, she's tossed dozens in the trash, false starts where the Facebook F was too wobbly and the camera came out looking as though a giant thumb had pressed down hard. She hesitates over balloons. Do they even matter at night? In the end, she decides, why not, and drives home from the party store with so many fat balloons crammed into her back seat she can't see out her rearview mirror. She imagines being pulled over for driving under the influence of helium. And the reason that I decided to go with a birthday party is really because it's supposed to be a joyous occasion, and the reader doesn't yet know why this joyous occasion is not one, because as the reader learns somewhat through the novel, most people with XP live an average of 20 years. So every birthday that Tyler has is a joyous one, of course, but it's also a sad one because he's marching toward this deadline.
The book is called The Deepest Secret. Carla Buckley is my guest, and that's so marching toward that deadline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, each birthday meeting 1 year closer to the end. And of course, you foreshadowed this. You said it's supposed to be happy. And so
we know
rough things are about to occur, and they do. There's an accident that changes everything for Eve and the family.
So everything is carefully balanced. Her neighborhood, the home that she's made light-proof, her older daughter, whom she's hoping is having a wonderful 16-year-old existence, her son, who so far is healthy. And she's driving to pick her husband up from the airport, because her husband, David, has taken a job out of town and now has to leave his family every week and come home just on weekends. And it's storming. She realizes that she's forgotten to put the dinner she had prepared and set out on the counter into the oven. So she texts her daughter and asks her, please put chicken in oven at 350. And when she looks up, she hits something. She sees something and she hits it. And it turns out to be the 11-year-old daughter of her best friend.
And she's got some very important questions to ask herself going forward with regard to her son and what now makes, what's the best decision?
Exactly. Exactly. Because she realizes she feels that she's the only one who can take care of her son. And if she goes to jail for texting while driving, who is going to step in? Her husband is busy working and trying to provide. She has no parents to turn to. She can't possibly ask a friend to step in and raise her son. And selfishly, she also realizes she does not want to miss those few years. She's incarcerated for 3 or 4 years. That's a lifetime with her son.
This book works on so many levels to expose so many great themes. You know, the one is XP itself. Mm-hmm. Here's a disease in which the environment is your enemy. which you're actually your deepest enemy, your mortal enemy, mm-hmm. is now the world, the sun.
Right.
And so metaphorically, you think of us sort of trying to live a normal life in modern times. That's the enemy. And what kinds of constructions and what kinds of crazy right. worlds and tents do we have to build to make that thing work? And of course, there's going to come a crisis because it's not the real world.
Because it's too fragile in existence, right? There's something is going to happen to throw everything into chaos.
How much of that sort of deeper theme of looking around at the modern world and saying everything we adjust to, everything we normalize ourselves to is pathological? What have we done to ourselves to make this kind of economy and this kind of social order fit? How much of that was in your mind when you took up the pen to begin this book, and how much of it emerged sort of through the process?
Well, I believe that motherhood, I mean, if I can reduce it to a very clean point, motherhood for me was the most dramatic event. I have had other dramatic events in my life that other people may feel should have been the ones that marked me. But it was actually becoming a mother that showed me how extraordinarily vulnerable I am. And that is what I talk about in my work. You can protect your children. You can do everything you can within your power. You can go to extraordinary lengths. And yet the world is so much bigger than you. And there are so many variables you cannot control. And all you can do is hope.
Can I ask you to read again?
Oh, yes.
The book is called The Deepest Secret. Carla Buckley is my guest. And this is your third novel.
Yes.
We'll talk about this one now. Maybe you can set this up for us, this reading?
Yes, yes. I'd like to read a very short passage from Tyler's perspective. Tyler is the 14-year-old with XP, and being 14, he has started to take risks. And what his mother doesn't know, or his father, or his older sister, is that he is sneaking out when everybody's asleep and creeping around his neighborhood and looking in his neighbor's windows. And this isn't because he's disturbed in any way. It's because he's deeply curious about the world, and he's limited to the 7 houses on his cul-de-sac. That is the world for him. And so he's going around, he's showing us his neighbors, and we as the reader understand things that Tyler, being a 14-year-old, innocent 14-year-old, doesn't understand. And then I feel that the essence of Tyler is really distilled in the last page, in the last few lines of this chapter, which go, "The houses all around him are dark. There's only the quiet tapping of his shoes on the sidewalk. The wind shivers through the cul-de-sac, loosing a blizzard of small leaves that rain down on him. He stops, delighted, and holds out his hands, lifts up his face to let the leaves gently pelt him. They swirl around him like he imagines butterflies might. They tickle his skin. They dance along the ground. This is me, he thinks. I am here, a part of all of this." And the reason I wanted to read that passage is because, despite everything, Tyler is really a happy, hopeful child. And it's to Eve's credit that although they both know this clock is ticking and booming louder and louder with each passing day, they're living their lives and as fully as they can. And truly, despite the dark umbrella of XP that is held over the story, I really believe this is one of hope. I do believe this is a novel of hope.
How much, you're the mother of 3 children.
Yes.
And I have written this book. How much of your motherhood and your relationship with them did you recontextualize and see differently after having written this book?
I'd like to say that it made me a better mother. I think my children might be rolling on the ground and laughing. I think when I write, I really do process things in a way differently than I do when I'm actually talking to my children and telling them to clean their rooms or what grade did you get on that report card. And during the process of writing, I become a better version of myself. Because I have the time to think and see all the angles. And maybe when I walk away from the computer at the end of the day, I'm able to carry that forward in my mothering. But I would be the last one to tell you I'm a perfect mother.
Well, you should tell them to talk to the writer. Don't talk to your mother. Talk to the writer. They have the answer.
They know better than to talk to the writer. The writer doesn't want to talk to them because the writer says, shh, quiet, mommy's working.
Carla Buckley is working on her fourth novel because her third is already out, and it is called The Deepest Secret. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Coming up next on the program, The Monk Who Brought Yoga to the West. Find out more about that on The State of Things after this. Stay tuned.